welcome to Crossroads. It's so great to have you guys here. Why don't we stand up and we're just going to sing a song that talks about the amazing grace that's available to us through a relationship with Jesus. All right, let's sing Who Breaks the Power.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of Glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of Glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace.
Your face and not your hand. Whatever. whatever pleases you be our path.
We sing these words a lot around here. We'll seek your face and not your hands. At first glance, these words might provoke thoughts of, why don't we want to seek his hands? Or don't we want to see his hands working in our lives and in our cities? Yes, of course we do. But it's not his hands that represent the fullness of who he is. It's his face. Why is it so important to seek God's face? If my kids only wanted to be around me for what was in my hands or pockets, it would break my heart, because I have so much more to give them. And how much more God, being a good father and a good king, would want us to seek him, not only for his blessings, but for his character, his nature, his essence. To know God for who he is the most powerful blessing we could ever receive from him.
Thank you. voice is like thunder when your presence surrounds. When I can't see you and your voice is a whisper when you're nowhere to be found. Into your hands I commit my spirit.
You are my first, you are my last, you all swimming inside the breath of your desire. Where could I run? Where could I hide from your heart, jealous fire? Treasures of wisdom and things to be known are hidden inside your.
Lift up our voices, yeah. Sing it out.
And you are my first, you are my last, you are my future and my past.
Yeah. God, I believe that you know every single thing about us. God, every single thing that has ever happened and every single thing that will ever happen. God, you already know all of those things. So God, you know all of the good things, you know all of our strengths, and you also know all of the bad things and all of our weaknesses. And God, I just love the fact that despite of anything that we hold on to ourselves and judge ourselves by, God, you just say, hey, all of those things are forgiven, and I just see you as my son or my daughter. So God, I just thank you for letting us experience your presence. God, you are just so good. I believe that. God, as we listen through the rest of this service, God, just continue to speak to us. We just want to experience more about your character and who you are. Just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Thanks so much for being here, guys. Introduce yourself to somebody, and then go ahead and find your seat.
This place is unlike anything in the world because it stands in the intersection of three major religions. This city has nothing to draw us to it. It has no great natural wonders around it. It's not a port city. It's the spiritual history of this city that makes it powerful. Easter, we're going to be taking you through different sites where Jesus and his followers actually were. And I'm trusting that you are going to be blessed and you're going to grow to a new place in your understanding of yourself, and most importantly, your understanding of Jesus.
Well, welcome. Yes, we are talking about Easter. Can you guys believe it? Easter is early this year, so I don't know about you all, but I am ready for some springtime weather up in here, so I'm excited Easter is coming. My name's Dawn Webb, if you don't know me. I get to lead an incredible team of Kids Club volunteers. Yes, we love, you all know you love Kids Club, because if there was no Kids Club, those 300 kids that are here right now would be sitting with you all, so that's right. So whether you have kids or not, hopefully you have an appreciation for Kids Club. Well, Easter is going to be a great experience. If you were here last year, you know that Brian Tome, our senior pastor, went to Israel, took a team with him, and they walked in the places that Jesus walked, and had lots of great teaching, and they grew so much they wanted to bring that back and create an experience for us. So we'll have this really super immersive experience on Easter with footage. You saw some of that in the video. It's going to be fantastic. Perfect time to invite a friend. So in order to make room for all those friends, we're adding two more services. So take note of this, all new service times Easter weekend. Our new service times will be 4 and 6 on Saturday, and then on Sunday, all new service times, 8:30, 10:30, and 12:30. So if you come at the regular times, you will be an hour late or an hour early. So make sure you take note of these times. And speaking of early services, one of my craziest childhood memories was my family of six rushing to get to a sunrise Easter service, and my teenage brother wasn't moving fast enough, and as he got into our station wagon, my dad ran over his foot with our station wagon. So a neighbor took him to the hospital because we had to get to church, so we made it. That's right. All right, another incredible thing that is going on that I want you guys to know about, as soon as I heard about this, I signed up. Crossroads Oakley is hosting the Catalyst event. It is the premier leadership for anybody that is a leader. It's not just for people that lead within the church. It's for any leader that loves the church. So whether you lead in your home or you're leading at university or at your workplace, this is an awesome conference for you. There's going to be incredible speakers. Andy Stanley is fantastic. I don't know if you've ever heard him. He's a great speaker. Donald Miller wrote Blue Like Jazz. He'll be back. They're letting Brian Tome speak, because if you host a conference, they'll let you speak at it. So he's totally qualified. He'll be fantastic. And they're actually going to be there. It's not simulcast. They will be at this conference. You do have to get a ticket. You have to register and pay. We have a special discount for our community, so you can use the discount code Crossroads and get a discount on that. That is happening April 21st and 22nd. Not here. It'll be up at our biggest campus up in Oakley. So sign up for that if you're interested. We have another rhythm that we do each year that is coming up, and that is our church-wide journey, and we are going to be diving into Brave again. Last year, we saw tons of growth in our community as people, yeah, I know, I love Brave, so I'm so excited. Even if you did something Brave last year, you got to do something Brave again this year. So if you're new and you don't know what a journey is, it's a six-week deep dive into a topic, and everybody does it, kids, students, adults. There's a weekend message component, and then there'll be new new stuff on the Brave app to engage with. And then one of the most powerful things we found is for people to get in a small group and to go on this journey together. So there'll be a small group component as well. And so we're starting to ask people to consider hosting in their homes because we found like it's really impactful when you meet with people within a home setting. So start thinking about that if that's something that maybe God would ask you to do, to host a home. And if you want more information about how to do that, you can check that out at the Info Center. We are in the middle of a series right now called Death to Religion, and we find one thing that really seems to trip people up or people have issues with is the issue of giving and what does God say around that. And so we've really found by engaging with God through being generous has really helped us grow. And so as a community, we feel lots of great things like Kids Club and all the stuff that we feel like God has called us to. So in a minute, you'll have an opportunity to be a part of that. We will pass bags around and you can either drop something in or you can go online to crossroads.net/give. And this is just for people who consider Crossroads to be their home church. While we do that, we are going to check out a video and just see what are some of the places God can take you to. What are some things he's going to do in your life when you're willing to take a journey with him? So glad you guys are here this morning.
My step in my brave journey was to spend more time in the Word with God in the midst of my busy life of being a new husband, new father, and in doing so, I was able really to experience the love of God as a father, which is something I really had a hard time grasping.
My heading going into the Brave Journey was to explore international adoption. I was very scared. I didn't feel like I had the energy to parent a fourth child and to go back to toddler years, and I just didn't feel worthy of that.
Brave was life-changing for me. I went into the journey feeling unworthy, unredeemable, and I didn't think salvation was an option for me.
Following the Brave Journey, God gave me the courage to go ahead and follow my dream. And that dream was to become a marketing professor at Xavier University. I left a great job that I'd been at for 9 years, plenty of friends, really good money. It was his plan, and I was ready to go.
The way I walk out in my life now is constantly reminding myself that God wants me as his son, that God is overwhelmed by my love for him and that he loves me as a son. I now also get to see that as a father to two young, beautiful daughters, and I get to see his love again in that way.
God placed on my heart to be baptized at the end of the journey, and I am deathly afraid of water, so to be obedient in that was just awe-inspiring.
Chuck talked about storms and about how when you step off the boat, you're gonna fall and that it's gonna take you to the end of yourself. And that's exactly how I was feeling at the time. But we decided to say yes. And a year later, this May, we will be traveling to China to pick up our daughter.
This experience has been amazing. It's been among the most life-changing events I've ever experienced.
I'm burning my lies, walking in truth with Christ, and now I have a new lease on life.
I am worthy and I am brave.
I am loved and I am brave.
I'm blessed and I'm brave.
Very cool. That's the idea. Anytime you take a step in bravery, it leads to transformation. And I know that older guy, Scott, he was my boss 10 years ago, the dude that ended up at Xavier University. I'll tell you, transformation. He is a different guy. And we've just seen this thing called the journey has that effect on people, and we want you to check it out. It's happening right after Easter. And there's something unique about having that component that goes beyond the weekend where people connect. It grows them. And so we hope that you'll do that. And what I would say about Scott, it's not so much seeing the change of career as much as you can just see a change of heart in him. You can see a change of heart in him. And that's what we're talking about in this series, Death to Religion, is that religion just cares about what's on the external. It cares about what happens around us. And yet relationship, this other thing, cares about what's going on in the heart. We're looking at how we can actually affect what's going on. Hey, by the way, my name's Terry. I'm the campus pastor here. And today, we're going to be talking about the move from something called pride to something called humility and how all of us can actually move from one place to another and why we would do that. It had me thinking, what was the first lesson I ever learned about pride? Well, I was in college, and I was going for mechanical engineering. I ended up landing a great job at Honda of America, and so every other quarter, you would spend 3 months working at a place and learning by actually getting paid and doing engineering work. And so I ended up landing this job, was really excited. It meant that I'd moved to Columbus, Ohio, and the workplace was in Marysville, Ohio. It was about a 30-minute drive on this two-lane highway each way, and we had to start work at 6:30 a.m., that means you got to get up early. I tell you, people are in great moods when I'm in a great mood when it's really early. And one of the mornings, I'm driving in, I'm minding my own business, and this guy is just riding my tail. Like, seriously, I'm going to start charging you rent if you get any closer. Like, right up in my business, and I'm like seeing nose hairs in the rearview mirror so close. And I just decide, say hello to my little friend, the brake pedal. Give you a little brake check. Anybody ever get a little brake check? It's like, all right, meet this. How about this? You like this? And so, you know, I kind of get him to slow down a little bit, but I'm like, the lesson's not over. I got a little more to teach this guy. And so there's a semi that's there, and I'm thinking, you ever seen somebody do this one? I fly up to the side of the semi, and then I totally coast it. I'm like, I'm going to slow down. I'm going to make this guy. You want to come up on me? Take this. How about some of that? And so finally, I ride this for probably about 5 minutes. We get to our exit, and it's great. He's waving, giving me the one-finger salute as he's going by. And all I'm thinking is, that car looks vaguely familiar. And I get into my work area, and I'm getting set up. And the department manager... this is like levels above. I don't even know how many levels. That was higher, much higher than me. Let's just say that. He walks over and he says, you might want to think about who you're screwing over on the highway and making late for a meeting. Sorry for that. And here's what really sucked about it. At the end of my co-op session, you get a quarterly review. Oh, that showed up on the review. Terry needs to learn how to be more humble. Like, that was like written clear. Man, that was a crappy lesson. That's not the way that you want to learn that. But it's the first time that I remember seeing that. And here's what you have to realize. There are two kinds of people. All right, on one side, there are people that are really good at math. On the other side, there are people that aren't Asian. Okay, if you were here last week, if you were here last, come on, that's right. Come on, let's give a little support for the yellow here. If you were last week, we had the black and white, we had that, and I just want to make sure yellow is getting represented. All right, now that I've lost you, bring it back. Come back with me. No, there are two kinds of people. On one side, there are people that realize that pride is an issue. And on the other side, there are people that don't realize it yet. There are people that realize that pride is an issue. Every most, you just don't realize it yet. And here's why I say that. Pride is a really weird thing. It is really sneaky. Did you know that you can be prideful without even trying to be prideful? You know, you can be prideful and not even know it. And I'll tell you who tells on this better than anybody. Just look at kids, right? I mean, parents, how many times do you have to look at your kids and say, I just wish you would quit sharing so darn much. You're just sharing too much. Quit sharing your toys. Like, just take your toys away from kids right now. You do that. How many times do we look at kids and say, you know what? You're not hitting your sister enough. You just need to, like, quit being so nice and start punching your sister. I'm happy if I can get my son to quit hitting his sister for 5 seconds. That's a win in my house. I'll tell you, kids tell on us, and they're all about themselves, right? And they don't even have to try to be doing it. It just happens. It's our default mode. We can be prideful without even trying to be prideful. And here's what you have to know. If you leave it unchecked, if you stay in that place, it will affect everything. It will affect every relationship in your life. It will steal joy from your life. It will isolate you. It will affect every aspect of your life if it goes unchecked. And pride is just simply any time that we think too highly of ourselves versus other people. Fascinating, in his book, Good to Great, there's a guy named Jim Collins who's probably known as the leading management consulting guru of our time. And he did this study in Good to Great where he said, I'm going to contrast some of the highest performing companies in the world, and I'm going to compare them to companies that are structured similarly, that are in the same categories, but they're underperforming. It was really fascinating when he looked at the difference between the two. And, you know, what do you think he found? Do you think he found that it was great marketing that separated them? Do you think he found that they just had great, great products? You want to know what they found? They found that the first core difference between the two is that the higher performing companies understood this idea with their leadership that if they move from a place of pride to humility, it would completely change their whole organization. In fact, here's how he puts it. He says level five leaders, this is the highest level of leaders, they have high levels of humility and will. We all probably think they work hard and have will, but they have high levels of humility. They look out the window to attribute success to factors other than themselves. When things go poorly, however, they look in the mirror and blame themselves, taking full responsibility. The comparison CEOs often did exactly the opposite. They looked in the mirror to take credit for success, but out of the window to assign blame for disappointing results. It's not just this study. Study after study after study shows that if you want to have a healthy and a growing and a working organization, you need to start making this movement from being in a place of prideful and wanting to take credit for everything to taking a low place and actually building into the people around you. And did you know that this same thing that works in the business realm, this same thing that makes great leaders, it actually will make you a great spiritual life. If you're willing to take this same concept of moving from a place of pride to a place of humility, you will start to experience a purpose in your life that you never imagined possible. If you want to have great friendships, if you want to have joy in your life, if you want to have adventure, one of the things you have to start understanding is you've got to make this move from pride to humility. Here's the big point that I'm saying. Only the humble get more of God. If you want to realize all of that stuff, if you want to have not just a good life, a great life, an impactful life, a meaningful life, you've got to see that only the humble get more of God. That's where we're going today. Hey, let's pray before we go any further. God, I just see that this pride thing is a sneaky thing. I see because it's a sneaky thing in my life. And God, I pray that you would use every illustration, every way that you're teaching and correcting me, but more importantly, God, I hope we would all see it in ourselves. I'd see these things that you want to reveal. You want us to see maybe for the first time, or maybe it's for the 100th time, but you want us to see these things in a fresh way. And God, I invite you to change us and grow us today. God, I'm confident you'll do it. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to make this move, we're going to talk about today, moving from pride to humility. One of the things, we have to know what humility looks like. And this is one of my favorite definitions of humility from C.S. Lewis. He says, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. It really just means we're choosing to take a low place intentionally. Because here's the thing, nobody's ever been humble on accident, right? You're never like, man, I was totally accidentally like just serve that person. It was totally, pride happens automatically. We don't have to try to be humble, but the reality of that is humility is something that we have to actively do and think about. It's different. It's intentional. It's not caught. It's taught. And we see this fascinating idea come to life. This is a verse in 1 Peter, and it just describes this idea of how to become humble. It says, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It says to clothe yourselves. This word for clothe yourselves is the only time it's used in the entire Bible. And it's the idea of to put on a garment. When we clothe ourselves, we don't wake up in the morning and suddenly find that our day's clothes are on, right? It says clothe yourselves. You have to put this thing on. And then the word actually means after you put it on, to tie it around yourself. Kind of like a scarf, to put it on. Don't lose it because it will fall off if you don't go after it. And then it gives the reason. Said, God opposes the proud. God resists them. You're not going to get what God has for you. You're not going to get his goodness. But rather, if you take a low place, if you learn how to do this, you'll get his grace. You'll get his face. You'll get his goodness, and you'll get purpose in a life in your life that you've never, ever, ever had before. Why? Because only the humble get more of God. You've got to see this. Only the humble get more of God. Now, you've probably heard before, you should be humble. Humble, it's a good thing. All those are great. We can know things, right? But today, I want you to believe that only the humble get more of God. And we're going to look at three ways that illustrates, three ways that only the humble get more of God, three ways to practice that. And then first one, humility reveals purpose. If you want purpose in your life, you're going to have to understand how to get to a lower place, because pride never gets you there. Pride will never take you to purpose, because pride is all about looking at whether or not you can keep the rules and make them work for your favor. Pride never wants you to change. It wants you to stay in the same place. It wants everything around you to have to change. But when you see a purpose, it changes you. You know, hear me on this. Somebody's thinking, well, is this about saying rules are bad? Rules aren't bad at all. Rules inherently can be a great thing. Many of us are probably going to be glad that there are rules out there. You know, when you leave here today, you might put on a seatbelt. It's a rule that we have. You have to put on your seatbelt or you can get a ticket. I'll tell you, when you understand the purpose, you'll be very glad you had it. If you've been in an accident like I have where that seatbelt's restrained you, I'll tell you, you start to see the purpose. When you're humble, I don't want to do that. I don't want to change my habits and behaviors. That's what pride does. But humility, you start to lower yourself and you start to see the purpose in things. Man, one of the things I have for my family, we actually have a list of family rules that we put on the wall. This is our list of family rules. I'll read a couple to you. Try to teach our kids love and be thankful to God. Treat one another nicely and with respect. Listen and obey on the first request. I'm going to stop on the next one, though. Try and experience new things. My kids, man, I'll tell you, I'm worried that my son, youngest son, he's going to grow up to be like the loser guy that's 30 years old and only likes cheese pizza and mac and cheese. And seriously, like, I don't want him to be the loser that does it. I'm like, you've got to learn to try new. Is that because, though, I want to control him? Is that because I'm prideful about it? It's actually because I love him. It's because I want him to know the goodness that might be out there if he's willing to try new things. It's a rule that we have. And it reminds me, a year ago, my wife and I made these new Ghirardelli caramel brownies. Oh, so good. And I get them out, I cut a piece for them, and Tyson looks at it and goes, ew, that looks gross. Well, you're going to try it. You're going to try it right now. He's like, no, no, I don't want to try it. And literally, I take a piece off, I'm forcing it in his mouth. And he's like, no, that's good. That's good. I know it's good. I just told you it was good, right? You got to try new things. But why did I do that? Why did I push him on it? Because I wanted something good. There's a purpose in it, right? And so we have to start to if we're willing to go to a humble place, all of a sudden he could see the purpose of having a dad that wanted him to try new things. Pride is so sneaky, though. You know, other day I'm driving, this person cuts me off, and it's like, are you kidding me? Like, cut me off. This is crap, you know, and I'm kind of like having fantasies of like flying around them and cutting them off. But seriously, right? They do that. And then 5 minutes later, I'm pulling a boneheaded move and I cut somebody off. And yet I justify, because I'm in a rush and they don't realize what I have going on. It's like, you know what that is? That's pride. That's pride. And all of a sudden what it'll do is it'll take the rules or don't cut somebody. Well, I can do that though because I'm in a rush and I start to justify things, and pride will do that. I saw this with a neighbor, you know, thinking of rules. I don't know what you think about on Obamacare. I don't know what you think about mandated health care for folks. I know one of my neighbors totally opposed to it. Didn't think it was the right thing to do. Totally opposed. This is not right. This is an awful rule. Right up until he found out the purpose of it. When his son ended up getting this spider bite that ended up having a MRSA infection, it wrapped his spine and it started paralyzing him from the waist down. He coded in the hundreds of thousands of dollars that were spent on medical care. Guess who ended up paying for it? Obamacare. And whether or not he agreed with it, I tell you, it put him in he was humble. He had to get in a humble place and say, I start to understand the purpose. And you'll never understand the purpose when you stay prideful. You'll never get it. And you know why so many of us have a hard time following Jesus? You know why this is such a hard thing? Because everybody that we've talked to, when they've looked at the Bible, we've looked at this as a rule book. Everybody that's talked to, they share this as a book of rules, and you got to try to follow them, you got to try to figure it out, and it's only until you can figure out that God will even look at you and accept you. Here's the reality. It's not a rule book. It's a relationship book. And if you want to understand how it works, it's a relationship book that you understand as you humble yourself, as you start to see the purpose in it. One of my friends does this. Part of the reason I don't do this, I never get to give out hard, tangible Bibles. I had to like look in my office for this because everything's electronic. But every time he gives a hard copy of a Bible to somebody, he'll say, "To John, love God." I'll sign that and he'll give it to him. You know what I love about that? He's trying to reinforce that this is not a rule book. It's all about relationship. Humility will always lead you to purpose beyond the rules. And I'll tell you, like, man, if when we make it about rules, it confuses people. And I want to tell you, I've been one of the biggest offenders in this. A couple years ago, a guy came up to me and he said, "Terry, can you tell me where the Bible speaks against premarital sex? Can you tell me why that I shouldn't do that?" And so I said, "Okay, I'll meet you in a few days." And I started piling together all the different scriptures. I had it ready. I was going to say it clearly. And I sat down and I just laid it on him. And I went through every scripture that said it. And here's why it explains it. Here's why it's wrong. And you know how that guy left? Completely confused. And not at all caring more about what we were talking about. And you know why? Because I was prideful. Because I cared more about how I looked in that moment than really sharing God's good truth in that. I remember walking away just kind of defeated and frustrated, saying, "God, if you give me another chance to do this, I'll do better on it." You know what God did? It's probably a year later, I get another chance to do it. I have a guy that comes up to me. He says, "Tell me where in the Bible it says that you can't have it. Explain that to me." It was really cool. I was able to really explain it to him. I said, "First of all, it's one I've struggled with. It's been really hard. This is one that I've messed up. But I'll tell you what God's taught me in this. One of the things that God's taught me is that even when I've messed up, he's still good and he still loves me and cares about me. God's done that and he's allowed me to change. He's given me a chance to change and go to a new place. And here's what God wants you to know. He wants you to care about other people the way that he cares about you. And so when you choose to have sex outside of marriage, what you're doing is you're creating a sexual experience with that partner that's probably not going to be your spouse. And what it's going to do in them is when they actually do marry somebody, it's going to create a regret in them. It's going to create something that they're always going to have to compare to. And you know what you don't do as somebody that God loves and you get to reflect that to others? You don't create regrets in other people because God hasn't created a regret in you. God loves you. And he wants you to go out and share that with other people. And that's why God's taught me. There's a purpose. There's a purpose to the thing. A really cool thing, it changed him. That thing changed me. We've got to make this move from pride to humility. Humility will reveal purpose in your life. It's like only the humble get more of God. Second reason, only the humble get more of God. Humility strengthens relationships. If you look at all the relationships that you have, humility strengthens relationship. Pride will kill them. Think of every really good relationship that you value. Think of any close friendship. Think of somebody that you really care about and love. Do you know what's one thing that's in common with every one of those relationships? Every one of those relationships, I can tell you they all do one thing. They serve you. They take a low place to you. And somebody, it may not be how you want them to, and it's definitely not going to be perfect for you, but you know what they're going to do? At some point, they serve you, they build into you, they take a low place and build into you. And you know the crazy thing? We have a God that does that for you too. Man, Matthew 20, 28, it says this. It says, "The Son of Man," this is a title Jesus gave himself, "he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is crazy. It says, God didn't come for you to try to serve and earn your goodness. That's pride. That's pride when you have to try to work your way. But this says, no, God's relational, and he came to actually serve you. That's the God that I want. A God that serves me? I want more of that. I want more of that. Pride, though, man, we don't realize it causes us to start comparing against other people. It starts to have us look at relationships in a really weird way where we're saying, all right, you know, is this bringing value to me? And, you know, how much should I put into that? Because I want to make sure that I'm not putting in too much. Pride does this weird thing where it's a zero-sum game. But humility, I'll tell you, it changes us. When we're prideful, we start asking questions like, am I getting enough out of this? Here's the other question. How much do I have to keep doing to keep this relationship? Man, that's a weird question when you think about it, because that's actually not what that question's saying. That question is actually saying something different, saying, how little do I have to do in order to keep this relationship? See how it's sneaky? It's trying to say how much to, it's actually saying how little, and here's what it looks like. Let's see if I can get this, oh man, reconnecting. All right, we're gonna try it. We'll see if we get this back up and going. There we go. All right, let's try this. All right, if this is relationship, if that's where we're at, here's what pride does. Pride does, it says there's a boundary. There's a boundary here. And here's your goal. Get as close to the line as possible without going over. Do just enough. I mean, how little, imagine if I went to my wife and said, well, how much can I cheat on you before it's cheating? What does that do? When we ask questions like that, it just walks us this direction, right? It walks us here. And you know what it'll always do? It'll always lead you outside of relationship. Man, we not realize, we see this all the way. We ask questions like, well, is it okay to blank? Is it okay to watch this TV show? I mean, I don't know. It's a mature one, but is it I don't know. Is that the right question? Is that the right question? You know where that will lead you to? It'll lead you taking step after step in pride, and eventually it will lead you outside of relationship. Why? You know why our divorce rate is around 50%? It's because of pride. It's because we've asked these small compromising questions of how little do I have to do? How little do I have to do? You know what? They're not doing their part in it, and it will always lead us there. Why is poverty such an issue? You know why? Because we ask questions like, how little do I need to give? We ask, how much do I need to give? But really what we're asking is, how little do I need to give in order to stay right inside of that boundary? Pride puts us on this weird path of small steps that kills relationships. But here's what the good news is. The good news is, humility doesn't grade on a curve. Humility doesn't look and say that there's a boundary that you fit in and you've got to try to get inside of this boundary. Humility says something totally different. And here's what it says in Romans. It says that God, while we were enemies to God, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. It said that while we were still in a helpless place, God closed the gap. He said there's no boundary that you have to worry about, but rather we're reconciled by the death. It was taken away, and it opened up a relationship. And I want to show you what this looks like, because this idea of relationships and there being a gap and stepping away, we do the exact same thing with God here. So if I took out relationships, this is how we all view God at times. All of a sudden, we ask these questions that lead us away. Here's what God says, though. He says, because of what Jesus did for you, there's no boundary. And he says, it's not about being good enough. It's just simply, are you changing the trajectory of your life toward me? Are you simply asking questions that lead you in this direction and close the gap? We start asking questions like, what can I do to serve this relationship? Is this healthy for my relationship? Can I be more generous? You know where that will always lead you? It'll always lead you to strengthening relationships with others and relationships with God. You know what one of the worst things of being a pastor is? And people always get to actually see you and whether you practice what you preach. So when they see me yelling at my kids in a restaurant, I'm like, oh man, people are totally seeing this and judging me right now. But people get to see that. And one of the instances, I had a friend of mine reach out to me, and he said, man, did you hear this other church that was totally dogging Crossroads? I was like, nah, I didn't. Yeah, whatever, you know, sure. And all of a sudden on social media, I start getting multiple messages when you're like, oop, that's a problem, that's a problem. So I checked out this message, and I'll tell you, it was, I was ticked at somebody just saying bad things and really dogging about what God's doing here at Crossroads. And the hockey player in me, I love playing hockey, immediately starts picturing taking this guy's shirt, pulling it over his head, and just start giving him one of these uppercuts, and what do you think about this about our church? I mean, I tell you, just I just had these fancy of going over there, and I'll tell you what I was going to make him do is make him apologize. I was going to walk over there and say, you're not right, and you're going to apologize. Started venting to one of my close friends, Matt, that was on the Florence team, and said, can you believe that? This is ridiculous. Can you believe that? Man, I'm about to give him a piece of my mind. And Matt said, what do you think God wants you to do? Dang it, I hadn't asked that question. Stupid. And he asks, do you think God wants you to forgive him? Yes, yes, he does. Okay, I know the answer. It's either Jesus or forgive. It always is in church. And he says, what if you set up a meeting with him? And I knew I needed to, but I also knew that I needed to get right with God. I needed to forgive. I needed to forgive just in the way that God reconciled me to him. I needed to reconcile. I needed to forgive and let that go. And so I reached out to him. I set up a meeting. He ended up coming here. We sat right by the fireplace, my favorite spot in the atrium. And I wanted to beat him to the punch. So we sat down, and the first thing I said, I want you to know that Crossroads in your church were good. I want you to know that we're good. That's it. I saw the shield just fall. I mean, as physical as I could see, it just fall off of him. He looks at me and he says, I'm so sorry I have to ask for your forgiveness. And I said, here's a good thing. It's already done. It's already done. God's already helped do that. And in the most beautiful, awkward moment, he says, can I pray with you? And he grabs my hand, and he like starts holding it, and he prayed this great prayer for like 5 minutes. I didn't hear a word of it because all I could think about is people are looking at us and you're holding my hand. This is so awkward right now. Seriously, I haven't caught a word that you said, but I know it's really good. And here's what's amazing. Because humility strengthens relationships, and these two people that came in enemies, they left as friends. These two people that came in enemies, they got to leave as brothers. And that's what humility does. It strengthens relationships. And ultimately, what it really did for me, it strengthened my relationship with God. I started to realize and remember how good he is to me, how much more he's forgiven me than this guy making a mistake and saying some things that in his heart he actually didn't mean. And the great thing, we're in a good place. Because that's what God does, man. When we're humble, we get purpose. It strengthens relationship. There's one more thing it does. Humility promises the impossible. Humility promises the impossible in your life if you're willing to try getting to a low place. If you want to experience things beyond what you can even picture now, you have to start to understand what it looks like to lower yourself. Really interesting, that guy that got this, he was one of our presidents, Harry Truman. Here's what he says. He says, anything is possible if you don't care who gets the credit. Now, interesting thing about his story, he was a president that ended up inheriting the presidency when President Roosevelt died. This was during World War II. And he ended up having to make the decision to use the atomic bomb. I'll tell you, that's a guy who had to rely on other people around him. He had to be in a humble place. And it changed the world. It was a turning point. Pride will never take you to the impossible. You know what pride is always worried about? It's worried about the impressive. Pride's always worried about how you look. It's worried about the impressive. But humility will take you to the impossible. In fact, Jesus said this. Here's what it says in John 14. Jesus says, truly, truly, I tell you, I promise you this, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do. The impossible he'll do. Why? because I'm going to the Father. Not somebody that works hard, not somebody that's prideful of what they have, but if you're willing to believe in me, if you're willing to be in relationship with me, if you're willing to follow me, I have the impossible for you because I'm going to advocate with the Father for you. I'm going to open back up relationship with the Father with you. And you want to know what the crazy thing is? The crazy thing is, I see it. I see it. I see the impossible all over the place. Last weekend, we had our Connect event after service for new people to just get to connect and meet folks. And somebody that was brand new came over and said, man, I'm really, really surprised. I really liked it. I was really surprised, though, that you guys had racial reconciliation discussions. You guys had Black and White, Chuck and Brian on stage, actually being willing to take questions that came in through text and answer those in an honest way and divulge things that could make themselves look bad. I was surprised you guys were willing to do that, and I'm thankful for it. And do you know why she was surprised? Because most places would say, that's impossible. You can't do that. You shouldn't do that. People are worried about how they'll look. That's what pride does. But humility, it will take you to the impossible. And we got to see a beautiful picture of reconciliation because of that. It was amazing. It was amazing. I see it right here. I see it all over the place. I'll tell you one of my favorites, though. A couple years ago, because of humility and God leading us to the impossible, we got to be a part of something called the Royal Prom. This amazing event that we got to be a part of, serving and humbly coming under the special needs community in our city. Because right now, the way that the special needs community thinks about the church is it's a place that they largely feel unwelcomed. They feel like it's a place that doesn't accommodate well. And we wanted to change that. We wanted to see what we could do to love and serve that humility, serve with humility. We want to do that. And every year as we get together a leadership team, here's a thought that comes across our mind. We're unqualified to do this. Something could go awfully wrong, and it's a big, big risk. But then what happens is we start to pray, and God says, do you believe I can do the impossible? I know you're unqualified. Do you believe that I'll bring the right partners in? Start to say, do you believe that the impossible, that do you trust me in this? And we start to say, all right, God, will you show us the impossible? Because if you're not humble, if you don't allow the impossible to happen, you never get this.
Put your head in my hand.
That's the impossible. That's the impossible that happens when we choose to humble ourselves and allow God to show up, because pride would tell you, you can't do that. There are too many risks, and you have to worry about how you'll look, and we'd still be planning it if we were stuck in pride. Pride would say, you got to find the right partners before you can even consider doing something like this. And pride said, you've got to be worried how you're going to look, because what if hundreds of volunteers don't show up? What if the young community that you need to pull this off doesn't show up? But humility says this. Humility says, the impossible can happen. Humility says, you have to ask for help. What if you asked other churches to be a part of this thing? What if you invited best-in-class organizations that know how to work with special needs to actually come help you do this? You don't have to do it by yourself. What if we had hundreds of youth from all across our city that would choose to humble themselves? It would actually have you believe that the special needs community could be welcomed in a church. What if we could bring together churches that all had different expressions of God, but to come together, to serve together in one place, to humbly come under a larger vision of the kingdom of God, what would happen? We'd see the impossible happen. I'll tell you, the impossible is happening. It's happening. It's amazing. But I want you to know, all of those things, every one of them, every piece of those things, it pales in comparison to the most humble thing I've ever done. Pales in comparison to the most humble thing I've ever done or been a part of. I was 14 years old, and some friends invited me to come check out this Christian camp. Didn't know many people there, and it was really cool because when I was young, I really felt like I didn't fit in. I looked different, and it was a place where people just treated me well, and they invited me in. I made friends, and I just enjoyed being around people. And there was a night where it was the first time I can ever remember somebody explaining the gospel, explaining the good news of Jesus in a way that I could understand. Started having me realize that I make a terrible savior. Started making me realize I needed help from the outside. I needed somebody to come in and save me. That was the first time I just said, Jesus, I need you to save me. I want to take a low place, and I need you to save me. That happened 22 years ago. And I've been saying that same prayer every day since. You know why? Because pride is a sneaky thing. There are days that I get to the end of the day, and I can think about this, man, God, I've really botched this one. I've let pride get the best of me today. And every time I do that, God says, that's okay. You know why? Because when you take a humble place to me, when you change that trajectory of your life, it's not about what you can do, Terry. It's about what I've already done for you. I've already forgiven it. It's already done. And you know how it feels? It feels amazing. It feels amazing. And do you know what God wants for you? He wants that same thing. That no matter what boundary you've set up, no matter how far disconnected you are, God says, all you have to do is humble yourself and change that trajectory. You're not too far. There's no boundary. You can take a step today. I want you to do that. Are you willing to do it? I'll tell you, it will change you. Do you want purpose in your life? Do you want strong relationships that build into you in a relationship with God? If you want the impossible to happen, we have to make that move from pride to humility, because only the humble get more of God. And God wants more of that for you. Let's pray. God, I'm just so thankful that I feel you here. I'm reminded of how good you are. I'm just reminded that you want that for every person here. And so God, my prayer over each person that first, God, help us to see clearly. Help us to see where this pride thing has got a hook on us. We don't realize it. Help us to see it. But God, give us the courage to be humble. Give us the courage to change.
And God, thank you for the promise that we will get more of you, we'll get more purpose, we'll get more goodness in our life when we choose to do this. Help us to see it. And thank you, God, you are trustworthy to do that. Thank you. Amen. You may be thinking, great, Terry, I want to do this, but how do you do it? How do you do it? I want to give you a really, really simple way. Simple question you can ask yourself, this simple but powerful question, you can ask it anywhere. No matter what circumstance you're in, no matter what situation, ask this simple question. God, what does humility require of me? Next time you're frustrated, next time something's gone, ask this question, and then importantly, do it. If you do this, you'll see relationships strengthen in a way you didn't see possible. You'll start to see purpose. And I believe if all of us did this, if all of us took action on it this week, we would start to see our city change. We would start to see people see something going on in our region and say, I want what's going on here. What is that? There's a movement happening here if we would just be willing to humble ourselves. Willing to humble ourselves and get low. You know what happened? You'd see the world change. You'd see the impossible happen in your life. I want you to go after it. I promise you, there's something good on the other end of that. Hey, before we get out of here, next week, we're going to be doing something called Beans and Rice again. If you haven't done it, it's going to be an awesome week. You're not going to want to miss it. Hope to see you guys next weekend. Have a great one.